It's podcast time on XFM. The breakfast show best bits are in. Lots of chat and interviews and less bits with Matt Dyson. Breakfast XFM. It's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hello there and welcome to podcast 71 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And yes, this is unusual, isn't it? It's a bonus, extra surprise, collector's edition, cut out and keep, souvenir anniversary, diamond jubilee edition of the podcast. So what's on it? Well, Rod Gilbert is on it. Julia Davis is on it as an important documentary. We talk Chris Akabusi. We find out how you sleep. And we begin with a romantic tale of sat-navs.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Great journey in this morning. Great journey in I had. Minicab picked me up. Bright and early. Not bright really, was it? No. Kind of very rainy and early. And the guy driving the car, Matt, he had two sat-navs.
Two?
A double sat-nav it was. He had one on the left, kind of official sat-nav, and he had his own Renegade Maverick sat-nav on the right. And they were arguing. These sat-navs. Yeah.
Right.
One was saying turn left here, the other one was going go straight ahead. I didn't know whether it was hither or thither.
I've always wondered if they really know what's going on.
Well, they've just got different opinions.
There's no substitute for the knowledge, is it?
Well, it's not, is it? No. But he obviously had a severe lack of knowledge, this guy, because he was quite needy with his knowledge, wasn't he?
Overcompensating, yeah.
Constant affirmation he needs that he might be doing the right thing. And so one of them's going turn left here, and the other one's going go straight on. I didn't know which one he was going to choose. Sometimes he went with this one. Yeah. It seemed like one of them had a slightly posher voice as well. Yeah. And I think this was an interesting experiment into people's attitudes towards authority.
Yeah.
Because he did tend to go with the posh-sounding sat-nav more than the normal-sounding sat-nav, I would say. And the normal-sounding sat-nav at one point just lost confidence. And the little sucker just went like that. And it didn't fall or anything, but it clearly wasn't on the dashboard anymore as well as it was. And rather than reattach the normal sat-nav, he just popped it down by his feet, right? So now we just had the one sat-nav that was talking very loudly and, if anything, arrogantly now, because his rival's been sort of ditched and is at foot level. He's in the footwell. Yeah. And every now and again, you can just hear the little guy just still trying to chip in.
Oh.
Just kind of going, turn left here. And the guy's ignoring him and just going with the posh sat-nav. So that's but the posh sat-nav took us an unusual route, man. Anyway, it was an interesting experiment, I thought, this morning.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Yeah, the bourgeois sat-nav won out, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. It was like upstairs, downstairs, literally. Because the second sat-nav was down by his feet now. Wonderful. Downton Abbey sort of. Downton Abbey-esque drama that accompanied me to work today.
Wow.
It's good. Yeah, it's good.
Amazing.
I thought I'll tell Matt about that. About 10 minutes time, which I've just done. Your thoughts?
I say thank you for telling me that. I still can't get over the fact that the guy has two sat navs. It must be driving mad.
Yeah, I know.
Why? That'd be horrible.
Well, at one point he said he was considering getting his phone one out, and he went, "It'll be chaos."
What is he thinking?
XFM. You should probably turn to your listening partner at this point. Get your listener pad out as well if you've been making notes this morning on this special day, the Great Leader's Day. And take this in, because what we do is after every programme we have a listener meeting and just work out how you guys are doing, where you're going wrong, all that kind of stuff. And we do, generally, don't we, on a Friday, Dave, we do the main listener meeting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it today, actually.
Absolutely, I can't wait for that. And what happens as well is we're sometimes observed by Tim Lioro from Classic FM, who started to commission and produce and entirely pay for, self-funded, little documentaries all about us and the important broadcast here on XFM. So this is kind of completing the trilogy so far, and it's Tim's look behind the scenes at what goes on post-show.
It's 10:10 on Friday morning. The last important broadcast of the week has been delivered from Studio XFM to a grateful public. And it's time for Danny, Dave and Matt to begin their weekly listener meeting.
Okay, let's start with confirmed listener Fran. How did he do this week?
Yeah, some progress. Nice contributions on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Okay, Wednesday?
I didn't see anything from him on Wednesday.
Mm. Was there a note?
Nothing on file.
I've got nothing.
Downstairs in an office close to the Global Radio Exercise Yard, work experience Steve is hitting the phones, chasing the truants.
Hi, is that confirmed listener Alan? Yeah, we didn't get anything from you this morning.
The texter was animals that look like Napoleon.
I see. Well, how do you expect to learn anything if you don't join in?
I wouldn't say I respect the listeners.
Presenter of the year, Danny Wallace.
Some of them are absolute clowns. You know, ideally they should be listening at their tables in complete silence. If they're in transit, we do give them enough time to bring their vehicles to a complete stop, obviously. But if they don't stop in time, I just consider that simply purifying the listener base. With quality morning broadcasting, there will be casualties. It's just a fact.
While Danny said we should provide diagrams with each listener pad for correct listener posture, and we took that feedback on board.
Producer Dave Masterman.
Straight back, shut mouth, pad on knees, pen in hand, ready access to fluids, and the bedpans really just in case an important pronouncement happens at an inopportune moment.
The XFM Confirmed Listener Act of 2012 allows Danny to take decisive action when expected levels of quality are not met. Head of Listener Relations, Simon Fowler.
I wouldn't say it's the best part of my job, but it has to be done. Oh, hi, is that Sam in Brixton? Yeah, just to say, I'm afraid we're going to have to let you go. You know, no, I know, look, yeah, I know, look, you've had a good run, we just feel it's time for you to move on. You know, in the long run, you'll thank us. You're not really keeping up, are you?
Listener workshops take place each Friday afternoon at the Crawley Community Arts and Yoga Therapy Centre, formerly Spangles Nightclub.
Study your notes. Consult your pads. If you're late tuning in, the running order and rules are published each morning in the London Gazette. Repeat after me. Remain docile.
Remain docile. Remain docile.
Ultimately, I live and breathe XFM, and that's what I want the listeners to do as well. You know, in an ideal world, I'd sit down in my XFM t-shirt, on my XFM rug, drinking from my XFM mug of XFM beer. I'd order an XFM curry, maybe a cheeky bottle of XFM wine, and I'd listen to Capital.
And it's that level of serious dedication the great leader expects from his listeners.
Ultimately, as Danny often says, there's a time and a place for fun and laughter, and it is not the XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
So I hope you've made the appropriate notes and maybe learnt something.
XFM.
Rod Gilbert's coming up pretty soon. He's an angry man in terms of his comedy. You know, he kind of goes crazy about tiny things, doesn't he? But even he would balk in the face of angry nerds. Your chance to get IT off your chest. Let's do it in the studio, first of all. Who's got one? A show of hands, please, gentlemen. Yes, Matt, we'll start with you.
Well, I must say, I had an angry nerd around that. Yeah. I typed into the notes section of my ancient iPhone 3S, but as it's on its last legs and only works when it's being charged these days for some bizarre reason, and the portable charger has run out of juice, it's currently dead. Rolled on Monday when my spangly new iPhone 5 is being delivered.
Was there a 3S?
Pardon? Yes, this is the 3S.
I didn't even realise there was one.
I didn't know.
So
that,
long ago. Dave.
Oh, local London paper, I admire your attention to detail when it comes to securing your pages with staples. However, if you're going to invest in such a strategy, for the love of God, make sure said staples are positioned directly down the central spine of the publication. Yeah. 1 millimetre either side, and you ruin my entire reading experience.
Blimey. Hey, Garfunkels, what kind of modem have you bought? Just because I once walked past a Garfunkels doesn't mean I only want to use Garfunkels free Wi-Fi. I don't want it, yeah? Stop inveigling your way into my Wi-Fi suggestion box. Always taking priorities if I chose you somehow. Oh, what service do you use? BT? 3 Mobile? O2? No, I use Garfunkels Wi-Fi, so I was once near it. Oh, do you own a tablet? What is it? Samsung? iPad? No, I use this laminated menu I got from Garfunkels with microchips from McCain's. Boom! Little joke at the end. We are... Adele's received another accolade. I don't know how you get to sleep at night, ladies and gentlemen. I don't mean that in a kind of, you know, I don't know how you sleep at night, you people. But I mean, maybe whether you've got a trick or something like that, you know, because it's important that you're up early and ready to rock with your listener pads out so that you can pay full attention to our important pronouncements. So you need a good night's sleep. But there's been a list, tops, of artists that help people nod off to sleep. We've put a little montage together. Here's the top five. At one, it's Adele. You should be feeling sleepy. Straight to Coldplay, last year's winners.
Oh.
Snow Patrol third. If you're driving, just open a window, just get some fresh air. No way. You're dropping off. Then, Barry White.
What?
What?
And it gets weirder. One Direction. Getting their first airplay on XFM. I think I know what it is. That's the bit where you turn it off and go to sleep, I think. just right there. So music apparently helps a night's sleep. You've got Adele, Coldplay, Snow Patrol. Quite, you know, they've got gentle songs, some of them, and a nice rhythm to them. I don't understand the One Direction thing. How do you get to sleep at night, Matt?
Well, after I've put in my snore guard and my scratch mitts and my shower cap, then I'm generally knackered by that state. I don't know anyone
physical.
I don't know anyone that listens to music at night time.
Really?
And I dispute the findings of this survey. But last night I slept with a pillow over my ears because my baby was in the same room as me and she was making lots of loud crying noises.
Oh, right. Okay. A very attentive father. Dave, how do you do it?
I used to listen to music and then that kind of put me off in the end. So then it's now just speech rate, any type of speech radio.
Yeah, I listen. I do that as well.
But then that's worrying because then sometimes I will wake up at 3 a.m. and it'll still be going.
And
I wonder what messages they might have, you know.
Subliminal
messages into my brain, because I sometimes wake up with very strong views on things I didn't think I really knew about.
You have become quite racist recently. Well, that is, yeah. I don't know what you listen to. I don't know which stations. I'll tell you what's good for dropping off. The Legal Hour on LBC.
Yes.
Because someone phoning in and just going, yeah, I've got a problem with my carpet. I want to make a complaint about my carpet. What are my rights?
Yeah.
I'm off straight away.
There was one in the Legal Hour where someone's hedge was overgrown into someone else's garden. Oh, what can they do about it?
Yeah, yeah. What did they do? You don't know. You were asleep, weren't you?
I fell asleep.
I sometimes imagine diving into a lovely pool. It's quite relaxing. It's quite relaxing. And also, this is weird, right? Sometimes if I can't sleep, I have to put the back of one foot between two toes. Is that odd? You're looking at me, you're trying to work it out. So one foot below the other, the other foot on top, with the toes hooked over the back of that one foot.
Oh,
I think it must be that, like, that's how I was in the womb or something. And I go back to that state and that makes me relax. Something fetal about that.
We are
XFM.
I'm about to speak to this man.
2 hours I was on that train, they made 19 announcements into... I was in the quiet carriage. There's only one reason it wasn't quiet, and that was 19 announcements shouting about how quiet it was. It's not a quiet carriage if you keep shouting. Please refrain from using any electronic equipment. You're on a tannoy pot kettle, mate.
It's Rob Gilbert, he's here. Hi,
Good
Ross.
Morning.
How are
God.
You?
There's nothing worse than somebody like that shouting at this time in the morning.
You'll fit in.
Who was that idiot? Who was that idiot you had on there? You've got all slick, mate. You've got all radio.
I know.
Last time you interviewed me, you were like, all right,
shambles.
I'm Danny Wallace.
Yeah.
We're on radio.
Shambles.
This is now you've got all slick and polished up and buffed up.
It's breakfast radio. You've
got
to be up all the time.
You have, man.
We've got
to
talk
to this man. Welcome to the show.
You've never heard me speak this quickly, have you?
I haven't. No.
I can't stop.
If I'm honest, I've never heard you speak, I don't think.
Oh, really? Is that right? Yeah, you blanked it out.
I didn't think you could till now.
Rods, welcome. Welcome to the important broadcast. You walked in and brought with you a whirlwind of paranoia.
I did. I hobbled in.
You hobbled in.
I limped in. I've got a massive infection on my toe. It's swollen up like a red balloon.
Jeez, what happened there?
So text in and let me know.
How'd you pop a toe?
Let me know what you think about that.
That's how you do radio, isn't it?
Let me know if you're in the area and you fancy lancing something. Come on in.
So a big infection in your foot. What?
Big infection in my foot. And then the thing you were referring to, the old lump of paranoia that I am this morning, is I came in and you told me to turn my phone off because we're on radio, and I reached in my pocket, and that reminded me that when I reached in my pocket at 2 o'clock this morning, when I got home from where I'd been yesterday, there was a wedding ring, a gold wedding ring, on a leather strap in my pocket.
A gold?
I have no idea whose it is or why it's there.
He looked in his pocket. A gold wedding ring. Some kind of wedding band.
Yeah.
On a shoelace?
On like a leather shoelace. So I got home last night, and picture the scene. I got home last night, reached in my pocket to take out my keys to get in the door, and on the strap in my pocket is a gold wedding band on a leather lace. I've got no idea. What does that mean? I've showed you the searches on my phone. I was sitting on the toilet at 7 o'clock this morning. I suddenly thought maybe it's a message, so I've put in mafia death threat messages.
Genuinely, in Rod's phone, there was a search, a recent search, after one for Des O'Connor for no apparent reason. Somebody was asking me about
how old he was.
Why would anyone ask you how old Des O'Connor is? Why are you the go-to guy for Des O'Connor information?
Hey, don't get me paranoid about that. Why would anyone want to know about... Hang on, let me put in Des O'Connor. He's not a known mafia threat. It's not Vader.
Not that we know.
How old is Des O'Connor? Does that mean sleeps with the fishes?
Mean something like that, yeah. Good Lord. So what a life you lead. Foot infection, finding wedding rings all over yourself, Des O'Connor, internet searches.
Yeah. I'm genuinely putting the searches in here are mafia message threats, and then nothing came up on that. So I put more specific, ring on a leather strap, ?
Right. Rod, imagine if somehow the foot infection had taken hold in the night or something, you know what I mean? Rod Gilbert had sadly passed away, and they went, well, let's just see, what was he doing? What was he looking for just as he went? You know, there would be rumours aplenty.
Des O'Connor.
Ring on a strap.
The one after that says Des O, because I couldn't remember his surname for a minute.
All right. That's what the Australians call him.
That is what they call him.
Des O. Like that.
I tell you what, if you don't put in ring on a leather strap into Google is my advice.
No, absolutely. No, it's not something I'd go to.
I didn't find out anything useful, I'll tell you that.
If anyone out there knows why and how Rod may have come across a golden ring on a leather boot lace.
Yeah.
Stuck in it. Where were you last night?
Well, yesterday I went to a gym.
A tinker's wedding.
I went to a gym. I went to a pub. I did a TV show. I recorded a TV show.
Were any of them about
cars, chatty man thing? And then, if you lost a gold wedding ring on a leather strap, if you shoved it in somebody's pocket,
someone must have shoved it in your pockets.
Well, that's what I'm thinking.
Or lassoed, you know, like spun it around on a lasso and it landed in your pocket.
I think I'd have noticed if there was somebody lassoing in the end.
Do you know what I'm thinking? Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking though.
It's hard to
lasso
subtly, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But looking at the DVDs you've had out, right? The brand new one, Man with a Flaming Battenberg Tattoo.
Oh, I forgot we were going to talk about that.
Well, no, but I mean, it's just giving me. I think I know what's going on here. What? The Man with the Flaming Battenberg Tattoo, the award-winning Mince Pie, The Cat That Looked Like Nicholas Lyndhurst. These are all titles of your DVDs.
Yeah.
And this could be the moment the next DVD is named.
Do you know, it could be.
The golden ring on a leather bootlace.
Yeah.
Shoved in my pocket.
Des O'Connor and the leather boots.
Yeah.
Des O'Connor and the pussy-footed... A foot infection, leather. So I'm not going to.
I'm not going to.
I'm going to finish this.
That's definitely not going to sell that one.
I'm excited for this to come out properly.
XFM. How are you, Matt? Look at Matt. He's stretching like a beautiful kitten in the sun.
Yeah.
Just a lovely kitten just stretching. Oh.
Still working it out.
That must feel good.
That was good. Yeah, very good.
It seemed very satisfying. That was a 10-second stretch.
Oof, ready for the day ahead.
Yeah. Ready for the day. Just the one stretch for you in the morning?
I think that'll do. That's to hit, you know, tick all the boxes.
Tick all the stretch boxes. Yeah. That'll see you through, won't it?
Yeah.
Do you stretch, Dave? Are you a stretcher?
Not really, but
you're
they
stretchy.
Are. I do find...
People stretch at you.
That'd be weird.
Whenever I see you, I stretch. Yeah. Table.
Are you insinuating that I'm a boring character then?
No. How would that be insinuating you're boring by stretching?
Oh, it's Dave. Oh, God.
No, it's the voice, if anything. No, I'm just tickling you. I'm just tickling you with
If I
humor.
Was to stretch, it would be this morning, because I had one hell of a late night last night. I think it was 9:30, 9:45 by the time I was in bed.
Really?
Yeah.
Straight after Miss Marple. That's how I imagine you. You say, oh, I might just stay up and watch Miss Marple right to the very end. Yeah. You only ever watch Miss Marple the first sort of 20 minutes, don't you?
Yeah, I never get the conclusion.
Just see a series of murders witnessed by an old lady. That's what you think that is. That's what you think that show is. Yeah. So a late night, why?
Well, obviously I usually go to bed around 6, as we know.
6 p.m, yes.
But my football team, Manchester City, were playing last night.
Yes.
You're
sticking with those guys, yeah?
I am. Yeah. I am. I even wore a sky blue shirt today. So that's why.
How many did they lose by this time?
They drew last night, but it wasn't enough, Danny.
It's not enough, is it? It's still a loss, isn't it? Because of the aggregate.
Yeah, not really.
Aggregate goals, homes and away.
Not this time.
Homes and away.
But my morning picked up.
Oh yeah.
I saw something quite amusing.
What did you see? For
4 o'clock in the morning. Rupert Bartier, you might know, was the newsreader that we
Rupert
once had
Bartier,
on this show.
Yes.
And
he disgraced himself on this show, didn't he?
I didn't want to bring that up, did I?
Okay. We won't go into it, but yes.
But he must have been late for the bus, because he comes legging out at Leicester Square. I was walking up to Leicester Square, and he came running down the side of the building. Oh. Really fast. He's got some pace to him.
Yeah. But then I call his legs his getaway sticks.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because as he got to the corner to turn to go onto Charing Cross Road to go for the bus, he did the most cartoon-like turn.
Yeah.
He went onto his right foot. and went at like
Roadrunner?
Yeah, like a 45-degree angle, and then hopped on his right foot. I may as well have heard that noise.
Yeah.
Hopped on his right foot for like four steps, and zoom, he was off to go for the bus.
You're
and he
kidding.
Made the bus.
So one of those proper kind of turning around a corner skid noises.
He skidded around the corner,
and then
his body was like 45 degrees. Yeah, and he was gone. It's made my day.
Yeah, absolutely. The meep meep that he does isn't actually a Roadrunner style thing. It's he censors himself when he swears.
Yeah.
That's what he does. That's what you hear, Rupert Bartier.
Yeah, it's quite bad when he reads the news like
yeah,
that, isn't it?
It is. He has to pretend it's a jingle. So he was off somewhere. We don't know where he's gone, and Rupert Bartier, the newsreader.
I think it was the end of his shift. I think he just wanted to get home.
Just as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
What's he done this time?
I don't know.
Why did he have to leave the building so quickly? Who knows?
XFM.
I've asked you, how do you get to sleep at night, right? What are your tricks? Probably the least appropriate texter for an upbeat breakfast show ever. But it's important, you know, because you've got to be alert during our important pronouncements.
Yes.
Sit in silence, listen carefully, make your notes. So how do people make sure they get a good night's sleep before the important broadcast?
Well, there are some good tips here. For example, Tammy from Putney.
Oh, yes.
Who says, I fall asleep with one arm in the air.
Ooh.
Lying on my side, I have to have my arm extended, like, in the air. This right. helps me relax and fall asleep. However, often, my arm drops suddenly as I drift off and hits me in the face, waking me up again.
Oh, no.
The art is to realise the moment you're about to drift off and gently put the arm down to your side.
Absolutely, and it is art. It is an art, isn't it?
It really is.
I mentioned my my strange thing where I have to hook two toes over the back of a heel if I'm really struggling, and it's a great little tip. I thought I was on my own here. Lenice says, I also sleep with my heel tucked in between two toes, but I'm only comfortable with left tucked between right big king toe and its toe neighbour. And that's me as well, exactly the same setup I've got, same setup, left, right over left. And Jeff in Twickenham says, Danny's not alone with his weird foot fetish. I do exactly the same in bed and then feel reassured that I'm no longer some kind of deviant as well. Thank you for building up the courage to come clean about it, Danny, paving the way for others like me. You're not alone, Jeff. You're not alone, Lenice. Let's get a big bed together. What else, Matt?
Gareth in Dunstable says, I play blockbuster movies in my head from start to finish.
Right.
But with me in the starring role, sometimes doing a different accent. For example, in Die Hard recently, I had a Scouse accent.
Oh, that's lovely. That's lovely. Sally from Somerset has a series of carefully constructed playlists to help her sleep. Every one's about an hour long, and each song is vetted to make sure there are no jangly bits that may jolt me awake. About 10 different playlists. Sal's sleepy songs, Sal's relaxing songs, Sal's quiet songs. It works, but even if it doesn't, I don't get stressed because I've got great music to listen to. That's nice, Sally. On another note, I mean, this fella, Seb in Bristol, says, I genuinely fall asleep at night by listening to your podcast. No offence, he says. No, it's all right. We're going to start putting in subliminal messages for you, Seb. Yeah, go on, man.
Confirmed listener Rachel says, I don't generally have too much trouble getting to sleep, but I do routinely wake up standing in the middle of my bedroom at night, clutching my duvet to my chest, convinced that I'm still a waitress. And I have to serve coffee to someone.
It's unusual. Michaela listens to Asleep by the Smiths. So does someone else.
Yes, like Zoe listens to that as
Zoe
well.
Zoe listens to that as well. We're uniting people through sleep, aren't we?
We really are.
Kalea from London says, I like to cry. It's a little bleak, isn't it? A little bleak. She says it does make make your eyes tired. Confirm, Mr. Amanda, what about yours?
Sometimes I can't sleep for the thoughts in my head, so I imagine that I have a tiny janitor-style man with a hard bristled broom that, when my mind wanders, rushes in and sweeps his little brush furiously to clear my mind of those pesky thoughts.
Yeah! Oh, wow. No, but I can do that as well sometimes. You sort of swipe away your thought as if you're clicking it away from a computer screen.
Sweep them away out your ears.
How wonderful, how wonderful. And Matt in Darford just finishes by saying, I could sleep through a nuclear blast as long as I'm gently cupping my gentleman's agreements. How wonderful. We are with the wonderful Rod Gilbert. His brand brand new DVD, The Man with the Flaming Battenberg Tattoo, out now. Follow-up to the best-selling, the award-winning Mince Pie, Cat That Looked Like Nicholas Lyndhurst. Hugely successful award-winning comedian, Rod. That's great, isn't it?
Yeah, thanks very much.
But also a man who...
I don't know what to say to that, Dan.
But also a man who finds just rings in his pockets, yeah, just tied to bootlaces, leather, yeah, straps. You were saying that you were thinking, yeah, of maybe...
Why don't you remind the listeners of my weird thing?
Thank you. Very slick, very nice. They teach you well at Radio Wells.
Cheers.
So Rod woke up and found in his pocket this morning a golden ring attached to some kind of leather shoelace.
Yeah, it was last night when I got home. I found a leather strap with a, yeah, wedding ring on it in my pocket. It's not the kind of pocket that you could just drop somebody in as you walk past. Somebody has planted that there.
Yeah.
And I'm quite paranoid about it. I don't know what's going on.
What if it's some kind of spy thing, you know, where someone's being chased through the streets of London and they've only got a moment to dispose of, like, the canister of film, and in this case it's a special ring, and they pop it in your pocket straight away. So now the KGB are after you, something like that.
I'm not into this. I lost interest halfway through that.
Fine. A ring on a leather strap, says Siobhan. Are you sure it's not your key ring?
What... Yeah, fairly sure, thanks. Next.
Maybe Rod, yeah, is wearing someone else's trousers.
I found this wedding ring on a leather strap in my pocket when I went in my pocket to get my keys.
Yeah. Right?
So if it had just been my key ring, I wouldn't be as freaked out as this, I don't think.
Luke in Essex says, it's not, and this may help solve the mystery, it's certainly halfway there, it's not my ring, but it does sound a lot like a leather strap I've recently lost. Could that be it, do you think? They've found each other in a sort of Disney cartoon-style way.
I'm not falling for that one. Ask him what it looks like. wouldn't it be weird if... It'd be very weird if somebody's independently lost a ring and somebody else has lost a leather strap and they've both ended up in my pocket.
Well, yeah, they've teamed up.
And one's been
like
put onto the other like some kind of magic trick.
Yeah. You once played... It would be weird. You are correct. You're correct in identifying that. You played the Royal Variety performance just this week, didn't you?
I did play the Royal Variety performance
Bruce
just this
Forsyth
week.
Was on. Ronnie Corbett was on.
All the young guns.
Des O'Connor?
Me, Des O'Connor, Jimmy Tarbuck, Bruce Forsyth.
How old is Des O'Connor, by the way?
Des was the young one. Oh, no, I think Tarby said he was the youngster. He's about 74.
Tarby was there as well.
He was the young gun. Yeah. Tarby was there.
Oh, wow.
We were backstage. And then myself, Alan Carr, and Bill Bailey as the new kids on the block.
Prince Charles loves Bill Bailey.
It was the Queen this time.
It was the Queen.
I'll have you know.
And what would the Queen make of an oik like you?
I tried to throw a potato at her.
Fair enough. Enough said.
Maybe that's where this death threat has come from. Maybe. She wouldn't let me throw a potato at her. But I had to get it delivered to her in the end.
Why on earth, A, wouldn't they? Well, the answer sure yourself, really. Wouldn't they let you throw
I tell you what. The answer is on the DVD.
Oh.
Look at that. You're not as slick as me, mate.
The Flaming Battenberg Tattoo.
That's the one. That's the DVD.
Tried to throw a potato at the Queen.
Yeah.
And did you have to get that signed off? Obviously, they said no.
Yeah, I said, I said, am I okay?
What were you expecting them to say?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, right. It was a naive request.
Yeah.
I said, do you mind if I throw a potato at the Queen?
Yeah.
He said, well, what do you mean, like a potato? I said, well, it's hard to define. Well, Maris Piper, like a King Edward, something like that.
Yeah. Keep it royal.
Something roughly the size of it. Yeah. Keep it royal, keep it in the family. And they said no.
Wow.
Said no. So I had it delivered to her in the end. I got a butler, like, with a platter, and he took it up to her.
Fair enough, if you want to know why.
She ate it out of her hand live in the Royal Variety.
Is that right?
Yeah, she was just munching on a potato in front of everyone.
Exactly.
It's embarrassing, to be honest.
It's all in the DVD, The Man with the Flaming Battenberg Tattoo. You can buy that now. So much of your comedy, you get very exasperated, which is why we love you. We get sort of drawn along. It's not anger, it's more exasperation, isn't it?
It's frustration, exasperation. You can call it anger, I don't mind.
Is there a gentler side to you? In fact, Dave, can we get some romantic music? Have you got any romantic music?
Hey, what's going on?
That's all right. No.
I've been hoodwinked into this.
Yeah, basically.
You're going to get off with me live on air.
I brought this wedding ring.
You planted it in my pocket.
I did, yeah.
Why didn't you just ask me live on air? Or take me away somewhere.
I'm shy.
Wind me, down me.
I'm shy. Rod, why don't you just tell us about some of the things that make you happy?
Oh, God, this is put on the spot, isn't it? Some of my favourite things.
Well, it's up to you.
Well, a gold wedding band or a leather strap. That kind of thing.
Did you find that in a dewy pocket one morning?
Yeah. What makes me happy? I'd say, well, my family, my friends.
Yeah.
Loved ones.
Yeah.
A roaring log fire.
Yeah.
A box of chocolates.
Yeah.
A lovely black and white film.
Oh.
just kicking off some soggy shoes that have just got soggy in the autumn leaves.
Are you a girl from a chick flick?
I do like a chick flick.
Do you?
Yeah, I cried at Sex and the City.
You cried at Sex and the City?
Yeah, three times.
Three times?
Yeah.
Which bits did you cry at, Rod?
The bit on the end where they meet on the bridge.
Yeah. What else?
Oh, God, don't.
What else?
Don't get me going.
What else?
Well, that's the only bit I remember.
What about the bit where one of them gets hit with some flowers?
I was going to say when she gets hit by a bus. Or something. Oh, yeah, I cried at that. That was moving. When she got hammered off the pavement.
What else makes you happy? Increased DVD sales?
Oh, yeah, increased DVD
sales. Increased DVD sales. Yeah. The man with the flaming Battenberg tattoo is out now.
Yeah. Only my increased DVD sales. Yeah.
Just generally across the board. It's been a strong fourth quarter for DVDs. I'm tearing up.
DVD sales are up.
We are XFM.
Let's get the good news in the studio. Studio XFM. And Matt, what I say to you, what is your good news this morning? What would you say in response?
I'd say good news, guys.
Yeah.
I know I correctly predict it around 70% of the time, but yesterday I stopped the rain.
What? Yes. You mean you stopped the rain?
I stopped the rain as I walked through a torrential downpour.
Yeah.
The space all around my body was dry.
Are you high?
Just call me the Rain Man.
I'm not going to call you Rain Man.
I'm not getting biblical on you or trying to con a listener into believing the world is about to end.
Right.
Again. It was the Rain Room exhibition at the Barbican.
Ah.
I finally got to going, and the drizzle was the shizzle.
Wow! So what happens? You walk through a rain room and the rain stops?
It's amazing, yeah. If you walk too fast, there's a bit of a splash, but if you walk slowly...
There's a poem.
If you walk slowly through it, it wasn't meant to be.
Only you can do it.
It's amazing.
Hey, good news, guys. Live poetry there. Good news, guys. During yesterday's important broadcast, I mocked Sky News and their daily newspaper review, claiming that for such an important slot, they need only the finest news minds to discuss, dissect, analyse and communicate their thoughts, to distill huge subjects into their core elements, find their angle, make their point. Oh, there's trouble with the footsie, yells the editor. Get me Michelle Dubry from The Apprentice Series 2, but I also need Kevin Adams, the celebrity fitness instructor. Well, they've not let us down today. Trouble in the Middle East, crisis at the BBC, conflict building to something even more frightening. Get me Chris Akabusi. But I also need Nicky Chapman from the 1999 series Pop Idol. Our news is in safe hands, ladies and gents, and that is good news, isn't it, Chris?
Fantastic!
All right, we're talking about the Middle East here, Chris. Try and keep it a bit down.
XFM.
Well, this is interesting. I don't know if you've got a poker face. And if you have got a poker face, I don't know what you use it for. Poker, I suppose. But you can use it for other things, can't you? Like someone's telling you a secret that maybe you already know. Or if you're... I don't know. What, if you're hiding something, Matt?
Mm.
Are you hiding anything right now?
No, I'm not.
Look at that poker face. It was fierce. I sounded like I was... saying that's fierce, girlfriend.
Yeah.
I literally fierce. Meant fierce.
Yeah.
So a doctor from New York is hailing a system of surgical procedures as the perfect way to maintain a poker face. Now, Dr. Jack, this can't be his name, Dr. Jack Beardy. Anyway, just imagine what he looks like. Dr. Jack Beardy is advocating Pokertox. Well. It's a bit like Botox, mixed with the world of poker. And it consists of a program of Botox and facial fillers aimed directly at poker players. Which I think is great, because I don't know if you've ever seen poker players, but they are beautiful.
Yeah.
And this is a twin attack on the world of poker, isn't it? Not only will it freeze their face so they can't give away any tells, but they will look absolutely wonderful. And it will enhance their abilities to hide their emotions while playing cards. And Dr. Beardy says some people might get a card they don't like and raise their eyebrows. Now, if that's the common reaction, we can put Botox in certain areas, I think it means the eyebrows, to minimise them. And this will last sort of 3 or 4 months. And that's interesting, isn't it? That people do have certain tells, isn't it? So, I mean, if you have got a facial tell, if you've got a good card, Botox may be the way for you.
Wow.
Do you have a facial tell?
I don't think so. Apparently, if people touch their face, that means...
Why are your nostrils flaring so crazily?
I always flare my nostrils. I don't know why. But, yeah, there are some downsides to this Botox idea.
Yeah, this Botox malarkey. Yeah. What are they?
Well,
give me the top
you'd have
10.
A poker face while you were playing, but for the rest of the day, you wouldn't have any other facial gestures.
You'd be expressionless, wouldn't
you'd
you?
You'd be expressionless.
You'd look like a cold-blooded killer just walking around the casinos of Las Vegas. You wouldn't be able to celebrate. You'd be saying, I won $1 million on the casino today, and you would just look like a joyless freak.
It just looked like you felt neutral about it.
I'm not sure I've got a tell. I don't know what it is. I've got one friend who, when he gets excited, his leg just bobs up and down. Right. And it's very, very disconcerting, say, on a bus or something. What would you do for that? You can't put Botox in your leg. You'd have to use a system of weights in your trousers. We are
XFM.
Just me! Briefly do this. That was Chris Akabusi, Sky News newspaper review for the morning of November 20th with him. Chris, how does the world look today, would you say?
All right!
How are we going to solve the crisis in the Middle East, Chris?
Ice skating!
Yeah. Sally Berko's in more legal trouble this morning. Any advice for her?
Keep on running!
Thank you very much. Wise words, Chris. Wise words. Tomorrow, Bonnie Langford sets out her 10-point plan for United Europe. And we'll also take a look at the history of modern warfare. That's, of course, with Howard from the Halifax ad.
We are XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name is Danny Wallace, and I'm delighted, for all sorts of reasons, a myriad reasons, to welcome Julia Davis to the show.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. I feel like I'm in a shop, because I'm standing up on that counter.
Yeah, we are. You're standing, you do look like you're trying to...
Do I have to do some kind of...
You have to sell
serving.
Some meats.
Right.
Sell some meats.
I do always carry meat with me.
Good, I'm pleased. Julia, I realised just a day or two ago that I've never really seen you kind of interviewed.
No.
You don't tend to do it very much.
No.
No.
I'm quite a reclusive person.
Very reclusive.
Yes.
Mysterious.
Yeah.
Hunderbee is what we're talking about. I'm so pleased you've come out of your hermit-like existence, whatever that is, to talk about Hunderbee, which I've started watching, and is just brilliant.
Thank you very much.
Like my favourite new comedy of so, so long. And the great thing about it as well is that, and this is in the nicest possible way, I'm amazed it got made. Because right now, everything in comedy tends to be what people are looking for, it seems, is very kind of broad and kind of people kind of falling over. And this isn't that. And it's extraordinarily well written. But can you tell us what it's about?
It is a gothic period drama comedy, dramedy, gothedy. It's it's kind of, you might be better at describing it. I mean, it's a sort of mix between Rebecca.
Yep.
Jane Eyre, Tess, the d'Urbervilles, bit of Carry On.
Yeah.
It's a sort of odd mix.
It is, and it's so so well written and so acutely observed for all those references that you've just said there as well. A girl finds herself washed up.
Good, you're doing the plot.
There you go. Yeah. on a beach
in Hunderby,
in 1830s. In the 1830s, and she is rescued, and so obviously she feels kind of indebted to this figure who has kind of romantically rescued her, and ends up very quickly marrying him, but it's not the ideal marriage.
No, he's quite strange, isn't he?
Yes.
He lives with a very odd housekeeper played by me.
Yeah.
Creepy sort of woman.
Yeah.
And he's not what he seems.
And it's been on, it was on Sky Atlantic.
Yeah.
It's out on DVD right now. And
as
I
we speak.
People to go, yes, right, physically
it's
in shops right
going
now.
To the shops.
Yes. In terms of when you pitched it, because Sky Atlantic were doing a thing recently, weren't they, where they went, we're interested in certain types of people and what they really want to do. So was this kind of a passion project for you?
Totally, yeah. I mean, as I say, it'd been around a long time. I was trying to do it as a film, all these things. And luckily for me, Stuart Murphy and Lucy Lumsden at Sky were just like, go for it.
Just signed off on it?
Pretty quickly,
That's good, considering I asked you to pitch it earlier on in this interview and you didn't even know what it was. So, I mean, I don't know how you...
It was a similar pitch.
And what's next for you? I mean, have you got lots more things kind of in drawers around your house or whatever that are waiting?
I have, but I can't decide what to do.
Oh, really?
So I'm looking for collaborators.
Collaborators right now.
Yeah.
Well, Well, you know, you are firmly entrenched in the world of comedy and have been for so many years.
50 years,
yeah. You have, exactly. And all these amazing shows that you've been kind of part of, Brass Eye, Nighty Night, your baby, you earned your BAFTA nomination, everything like that. I suppose Nighty Night, you've put that's gone now. I was going to say put it to bed.
I've said Nighty Night tonight, yes. Or have I? Because, I mean, I'd happily do another one.
Would you?
Yeah, but really? I'm not aware that, apart from lovely friends, which are mostly gay men, they've never asked me for another series. Hang on. I would do.
They've never asked you for another series of 99. No. You're kidding.
I think the climate's different now, isn't it?
Surely there's surely the BBC Two would snap that up.
Well, who knows?
It's going to happen. The campaign starts here. The DVD is out now. Please go and get it. Ideal.
It's called Hunderby.
Hunderby. That's the. Do you want to spell that for everybody?
HUNDERBBBBY.
Many of the B's are silent. Julia, thank you so much for coming in
thank
today.
Thank you very much.
Julia Davis, everybody.
Woo!
Wooing herself arrogantly.
We are.
XFM. Right now you're in the I Don't Know biz. Let's flip that, reverse it, do a complete 180-degree turn, I suppose, and start walking towards a water cooler if you can, while I put you in the know biz. So I've been through the papers. Here's what you need to know. Well, Jerry Halliwell's admitted that girl power was not a phrase that the Spice Girls came up with themselves.
You are kidding me.
I'm not. I thought it was like a completely independent thing. These five sort of ragtag misfits got together. Yeah. Very different personalities, weren't they? That's what brought them together, I suppose.
Yeah.
Seems it was probably some marketing men.
No, I don't believe that for a second.
No, I'm serious. That's what she's saying. She says it was like being a magpie and seeing a shiny stone that turned into a diamond.
Really?
That's a nice way of saying theft, isn't it? It's a lovely way of saying theft. Leanne from Little Mix wants to do a slow jam duet with Usher.
Slow jam.
Interesting to see where that happens. Madonna's got her bottom out again.
Oh, come off it.
Talisa's admitted that she's decided to put her bid to break America on hold.
Oh, what?
It's good. Come on, Matt. She's made her decision.
We're her territory, aren't we?
This is her territory.
She succeeds in.
What's her decision to... not break America. We're doing that as well, aren't we? We've decided to put our plans.
Focusing on
focus
the UK.
On this territory for now. Yeah. A lot going on. She can crack America later, can't she? After the novel she's not going to write. Nicole Scherzinger says she's 34, but Neil Sean says that she told him she was 32 5 years ago.
Let me write this down.
You do the math. For the maths. It's important to put the ass on the end.
It is, yeah.
Fans keep asking Amanda Holden when she's going to return to musicals.
Oh, come on, Amanda.
They keep coming up to her. So she says, when are you going to return to musicals? Soon, she says.
Soon, oh.
Soon.
Phewie.
She's also seemingly put her plans to crack America on hold.
Right, yeah.
I think just while she concentrates on the musical scene in this territory.
Well, their loss is our gain.
Absolutely. Mm. Lindsay Lohan wants to adopt a little boy. I don't see any problems there. I don't see any problems there at all. How many times has she been in jail now? I think it's going to be fine. Susan Boyle's people tried to get the hashtag Susan Album Party trending. And that led to embarrassment, didn't it? The way that's written. Susan Album Party. It's kind of... depends how you say it, I suppose.
Yeah, there's a few interpretations.
It's an album party, that's all it is. And poor Kate Middleton... took some holiday snaps in Borneo, right? And she popped them on her website, you know? People interested in those. She was putting pictures of some trees and an orangutan. Lots of photographers are criticising them. The star's Jeannie Savage says, anyone could have taken these photographs. And I've just checked, and Jeannie Savage's latest work, by the way, is of Gina 19 from Essex. So there's a real expert there. Real expert, real David Bailey. Jeannie goes on to say, it's clearly not the work of someone who knows what they're doing. She's gone around with a point-and-click camera taking pictures of what she likes the look of. They're holiday snaps! Of course!
Why shouldn't she?
Is Jeannie Savage going to go through all our holiday snaps and just criticise them, going, well, this isn't properly lit? Obviously, they don't compare to the wonderful artistry of making someone lean against a wall, Jeannie, but there you go. And finally, Ollie Murs. Just leave Kate alone. She's just on photos. So rude. Weird. Finally, Ollie Murs thinks Rylan from X Factor looks like a lot of fun. Now you're in the nobiz.
People will talk of this for years.
Maybe. We are Analytics. 4 hours of hugely important broadcasting, but what have we learned today, Matt Dyson?
Well, Rod Gilbert was wearing a woolly hat for the entirety of his interview on The Breakfast Show earlier. Work experience Steve was all smug and rested after being given a lie-in this morning following a Richard Hawley gig in East London last night. Dave had an angry exchange with a security guard, and a confirmed listener called Hugh has just texted in to say I sounded smug while talking about Man City's exit from the Champions League.
You can't help it, you were built that way. On today's important broadcast, Rod Gilbert, proved himself incredibly paranoid, having found a ring in his pocket overnight and immediately assuming it was a death threat from the Mafia, who traditionally operate in large American cities, not Dorking. Plus, he arrived limping from a foot infection and dressed exactly like a man you'd find trying to break into your garage with a spanner. We are... So that was podcast 71 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Remember, you can listen live every day from 6 a.m. on 104.9 FM or on DAB or online or on digital or around your nan's house with a kebab. We'll be back in just a couple of days with podcast 72. Bye-bye.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.